Well, hello, my friends. I hope you were doing well. Thanks so much for being here, and welcome to another episode of the Scott McKenna Podcast. This is just a really cool conversation. Some of you may know or have heard of Jesse Driftwood. He is one of the rare people that is doing some incredible Instagram work, and I mean Instagram story work, a guy that is spending about as much time as I do on a vlog on every single story that he creates. And it's a fascinating conversation because we talk a little bit about that, a little bit about his process that goes into all that. But more importantly, we talk about a topic that I really haven't thought about much in terms of the future of video. Is the future of video going to a more vertical based content? If you're like me, your initial thought is, I hate vertical video. I want 16 by 9. I want to watch it on my big screen. But the realization is we are watching less and less stuff on televisions. In general, we're watching more stuff on our phones than ever. And is the future of video going to turn a little bit in this next kind of 5 to 10 years to a more vertical-based format? And definitely something interesting to think about if you are in the video production world, because your content may need to be more vertical-focused as you create stuff. And this is just an awesome conversation with Jesse all about that. And I really hope, as always, that you connect with me and let me know what you think at Scott W. McKenna on Twitter. That is the best place to interact with me about the podcast, or you can get me on Instagram as well. So enjoy this episode. Let's get right into it. Well, Jesse, thanks so much for taking a few minutes today. Really appreciate you taking some time. I want to talk a lot about Instagram in this conversation, but before any of that starts, I love to just be able to hear a little bit more about kind of how you got to where you're at today. Obviously, before you can make really good Instagram stories, you have to be into filming, photography, you have to be into all that stuff.
Yep.
So kind of wanted to just hear your story, how you got to today, how you got to your kind of journey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of my background you do or don't know. So I don't know if you know that, like,
not too much.
Traditionally been like a wedding filmmaker. Like, I've done weddings for the past, I don't know, I think 2010 was my first season. So,
okay.
What's that? 7, 8 years?
Yeah, seven years.
I'm transitioning out of that now, but I have a handful that I booked and I'm doing this year, and one that for whatever reason I have to do in 2019. So it's still a thing, but I'm not actively searching wedding clients anymore.
Interesting. And I didn't realize. Well, so that was the kind of the first video stuff you started to do?
I mean, yes and no. So I mean, let's backpedal a bit further. Like, okay. I grew up, as we mentioned a bit before this, in like skateboard culture. Like, it was my whole life, right? So when you're into skateboarding, you naturally get into filming. It's just part of, you know, it's part of the whole scene. Is
right.
Sure, you want to learn tricks, but also you want to film yourself doing those tricks. I don't know if it's just about like proving that you did it or you know, but everyone just always wanted to make videos to show their friends. You know, even if you're not that good, you still made videos of you skateboarding.
Right.
So that was the beginning for me, and me and my friends just making videos, trying to make like a 20-minute video and never succeeding. And so we'd make 2-minute videos, 3-minute videos that were like 50% skateboarding, 50%, you know, like jumping off of roofs into pools, that, you know, like,
yeah,
because I guess that was kind of the golden age of Jackass or whatever.
Yeah. That's what everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was very much the beginning for me. And that was like elementary school, that was high school. And, you know, we're talking like mini DV, like my mom's VHS camcorder.
Yeah,
this was not filmmaking this, but this is what got me into filming in general.
Okay.
And then come late high school, you know, we were recording onto mini DV. The cameras were,
I remember that,
okay, but you know, we started experimenting with editing video, and I can still remember the first time where it clicked. Actually, I had this song that started out with like a drum beat. It was just like whatever, and by accident, there was this like set of 10 stairs that I was trying to jump down, and it was like me falling and then running back up the stairs. And I noticed that my footsteps landed like perfectly on the beats. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. But it wasn't on purpose. But that was, for me, that was the first time I was like, oh, there's like this marriage between the visuals and the audio elements. So I guess that's when I first started discovering video editing. It was also through skateboarding, but specifically through trying to edit these videos.
So it's always been video for you. No photography. It's video was kind of the start.
It definitely was a start, but I grew up, my mom was always like an avid photographer when I was really young. So when I was like a baby, she was part of this like camera club, and she would like truck me along on hikes because she was my mother and she had to take care of me. So I have a really like, I have tons of memories of being a kid and exposed to photography because my mom was into that. And she always loved to shoot home videos and stuff like that. So, but I don't think I really found, you know, my own kind of passion for photography probably until late high school. And I got my mom's old film camera and I started shooting photos. I think I took a photography class in the 12th grade and, you know, got in the dark room, all that kind of stuff.
So before we get into Instagram, first of all, if you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out who Jesse actually is, I came across your work and I think so many people are familiar with your work from just the most incredible Instagram stories and thought out, planned out. It's just, it's great. But before we even get into that and talk about that, what's kind of, so you said you're making a transition out of weddings. What are you doing now? Like, what is your actual work
that you do
if you're transitioning from there? Where are you kind of going next?
The goal is by the end of this year, making social content. So Instagram, okay, YouTube, that kind of stuff, my full-time gig.
Clients or for yourself?
Mostly for myself, but okay, that doesn't exclude clients.
Okay.
But it will mean that I can be a lot more selective with my clients because it won't be my primary source of income, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm definitely not opposed to, like, shooting cool videos for clients that sound like fun, you know?
Right.
If it's a project I want to be a part of, I'm not going to say, like, sorry, it doesn't work for me because it doesn't make a good YouTube video for me, you know?
I still
love filmmaking fundamentally, and so it's something that I want to pursue in general, but I don't want to have to be booking gigs just because, you know, I've got a mortgage to pay and a kid to feed, that kind of stuff.
Very cool. So let's dive into Instagram a little bit. So what's obviously fascinating about what you do is that unlike kind of what stories were probably intended for, which is somebody opens up their camera and they hold down the button until they're done and then they hit publish, you go through a ton of work for your Instagram stories. With all the work that I know goes into your stories, kind of tell me a little bit about what got you into Instagram and this whole idea of you're creating so much work into disappearing stories that nobody can ever watch again. And each day it's like you're starting over.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it all started with the fact that I was kind of getting bored with my wedding videos. I just felt like I found a formula and the formula worked. And it was always like, you know, I need a hook at the beginning and then I make it fun and then we'll get an emotion. You know, I knew exactly what I was doing, but I was also so busy with it that I wasn't just having fun with filmmaking. It was it was a business and it was a career, but it wasn't fulfilling me creatively in the way it once did. So January, February 2016, I think.
Okay.
New Year's of 2015 going into 2016. My wife and I traveled with our like 5-month-old to Singapore to visit her parents. While we were there, I was just like, I brought a little RX100, you know, point and shoot with me. And I was just shooting random clips the whole time. Just like eating noodles or flying on the plane, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I just made a couple edits while I was there for the few weeks just to put on Facebook. These were very like, it's not even good to call them edits. It was very much just like raw clip, like clip, 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 clip. Because I was like, I'm going to want to remember this.
Right.
So this is going to be
my version. It was more like home video than anything.
Exactly. It was very much like my version of what my mom always did when I was a kid.
Right.
So except I could edit it a little bit more concisely. So it wasn't 2 hours long. It was 7 minutes long or whatever. And then I think I made 4 of those. And they were, you know, they're not good, but I still like looking back on them. Right. Mm-hmm. And then around that time, actually, like shortly thereafter, I discovered like Casey's stuff, you know, obviously Casey Neistat stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is really cool. And I ended up going back to Singapore, I think it was April or March, you know, which was totally unexpected, but we went back like 2 months later. And so I decided I was going to put slightly more effort into those Singapore videos. Had a lot of fun with that. And I got home and I just remember being like, ah, that was awesome. I wish I could keep doing that. And I just remember my wife saying to me, like, I think you can do this. You know, we were talking about like Casey's videos and she was like, I don't think you should do what he does, but she's like, I think you could do like your version of what he does. And I was like, yeah, I probably could. So I got home and I was riding in a bus and I took out a little notebook and I was scribbling down like, what are my priorities for the year? You know, I was like, yeah, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. So I was like, what do I want to do? You know, how do I want to get there or whatever. And one of the things that I decided, I was like, I need to be shooting something. I need to be being creative every day because I'm just not. So I just made that one of my goals. And I started doing that. I would go out, I would film a time lapse in my city and then get home and be like, well, what do I do with this? And I would just delete it because I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to do with this clip. So when Instagram stories came out, I think it was around like, I don't know, sometime later that year, it seemed kind of perfect for me because I was like, oh, this is just a platform where I can put my one creative thing. I think the first time I ever uploaded a story, I shot on my RX100, like it was slow motion of me taking a bite of a donut. And that was my first foray into like, I could do this slightly better than what other people are doing. And I remember getting messages being like, how did you do that? And I was like, let me tell you, I took my RX100, I put it in, you know, 100 or 240 frames a second. I turned it sideways. I imported it to my computer. I flipped it sideways. I exported it, brought it to my phone, or like airdropped it to my phone, then uploaded it. And people are like, you're an idiot.
You know, like, that's a like, lot of work for a story.
That's so much work. I mean, compare that to what I'm doing now. It's that yeah, sounds now like a dream. Like, that
yeah, exactly. Now, so Instagram, when they first did their stories, you could upload external content. I forget because I don't remember when they first did it. Like, I never did that at the time.
But my friend, I noticed his like first story that he posted, he had a face filter. And I was like, how'd you do that? I thought that was only on Snapchat. He's like, I just downloaded my Snapchat and just uploaded it.
Okay. So they did it I couldn't remember. So you weren't doing any of that stuff though in Snapchat before?
No, I don't even have Snapchat now. At the time, I was like, I know I want to be making larger, like longer format YouTube stuff, but I'm still really busy with my like wedding filmmaking and my corporate filmmaking career. But these 15-second videos, you know, that seems manageable. I could make these every so often. And I started just filming on my phone. Like it was just me cooking eggs for my daughter. And I would just like film a bunch of random clips of me overhead cut or like mixing eggs or whatever, you know, really simple stuff. And then just handing my daughter eggs, edited it on iMovie in my phone, put it online. And like, I was just doing that, you know, for a little while. And every time I did one, I was always like, I could do that better. You know, I just always felt like, I don't know if you do this, but like you finish a project and I always just rewatch it over and over. I can't stop myself.
Yeah.
You know, my stories that are up right now, I've probably watched them 20 times on my own page.
Yeah.
And it's not even because I'm like, I'm the best. I'm so good at this. It's more like, oh, I can't believe I didn't do this. I'm always so critical to figure out what I could fix for next time or, you know.
And I think that's a good attitude to have. I mean, yeah, there's a side of it that you could say, you know, you're always your biggest critic and you're never going to be satisfied and that's not a good way to be. But at the same time, I'm the same way. I mean, I look at every single thing I do and I'm like, I could do it better. I could do it better. And it doesn't mean I do it better next time, but I always try to. And I think it's important in anything you do, but especially video where you kind of can never master video. It's all about trying to make the next thing you shot better than the previous thing you shot.
A lot of people will send me their work and be like, is this good or is this bad? And the truth is like, I don't care. Like all that really matters is like, is it better than the thing you did a month ago or a week ago or whatever? Because I think your overall trajectory and your direction is far more important than like a binary thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yep.
Because
exactly.
My hope is that like a year from now, I'll look at the work I did now and I would give it a thumbs down, right? Because comparatively, it's not where I'm going to be a year from now. That's the hope.
And I think that's good. And what I want to go back to a second ago is you talked about that you wanted to create something every day. It was really important that you created something every day. You know, from your standpoint, like why was that so important to you and why do you think, which I also agree, that it's so important to create something every day, even if it's not that you're being a daily vlogger, but the idea of just creating something every day.
Like paint something, fix a chair, whatever, you know. But I got into filmmaking and photography because it was something that I loved doing. Mm-hmm. Weddings happened to be a way that I found that I could monetize my passions. You know, I had a skill set that people needed. So it worked really well, but weddings was never my passion. It was just a way for me to actually make a living from my passion. And eventually that make a living part swallowed out the passion part. Then I was like,
hard. I think a lot of people go through that because it is really easy in anything you do to kind of love what you're doing and keep loving. And then you start to make a lot of money with it and you start to make more and then you start to realize I'm actually making a lot of money, but now I'm not enjoying it anymore. It's this nonstop back and forth that you kind of eventually sometimes need to either realize, okay, it's always going to eventually get to that. So where's kind of the middle ground?
Yeah, I think in general, like there's always going to be that pendulum swing back and forth. You're definitely never just going to arrive at a place where you're like, I'm always creatively fulfilled, right? Always in a state of happiness. And yeah, my friend Kevin talks a lot about, like, he doesn't really, I think he borrowed this from someone else, but he doesn't really believe in the idea of like a work-life balance. He just thinks like it's more of a pendulum. Like there's periods of your life where you have to work more, and then sometimes you have to recognize when you're pushing a little too hard, and then you swing back, and you're probably going to get to a point where you're not working hard enough, you're not pushing hard enough, you're not pursuing things hard enough, and so you swing back the other way. The goal isn't necessarily to just sit in the middle all the time and have like, you know, I only work 9 to 5 and I only play whatever evenings and weekends, right? Because there are, if you want to grow your business, there are just times when you have to work evenings, you have to work weekends, right?
And you and I both know that obviously once kids and that creeps into your life, that changes everything.
Yeah, for sure.
And so the idea of balance doesn't necessarily exist. It's more of there's going to be certain times that you sacrifice work for kids, and there's also going to be other times where you have to kind of work 2 a.m. You're going to sacrifice some sleep to accomplish what you need to do. That's part of just the creative journey.
Yeah, and so I think the same thing is true with creative fulfillment and work.
Yeah.
If you want to make a living from it anyways.
There
are just going to be times where it doesn't feel like you're necessarily going right. And that either is just, that's part of it, deal with it. And that could be a sign you're doing something wrong. Let's swing back the other way and figure out, you know, what brought you the passion in the first place? How can we reconnect with that? And for me, that was the case. It was kind of getting into filmmaking just for me again. One thing that we hadn't touched on actually is before the weddings, I was actually just traveling. So, you know, I backpacked Australia for a while and I bought a camper van with a friend and we moved into the camper van. We did all of North America for a while. And it was actually these trips I did, you know, I did coast to coast with my friend's band that I fully rekindled like a passion for photography and filmmaking. I got home after like a year of travel and I was like, this is what I want to do. And so that's how we stumbled into weddings actually, because we were like, well, what are we supposed to film? You know, we're no longer picking up hitchhikers or whatever. What do I actually point the camera at?
So we kind of touched on this, but so why to you Instagram? Now, it's not necessarily Instagram stories over YouTube, because I know you and I have talked and you're going to mention some different changes here and there with maybe doing some more YouTube content. But is there to you kind of a fascination behind like that you go through all the work and they only have 24 hours to see it?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Or how do you decide or go through all that work to know that it's such a short lifespan?
Well, I mean, if I bring this back to like when I was saying I wanted to create something every day, the 24 hour thing was actually the kind of the kick in the pants that I needed to get myself to do that, because if I want people to see it,
it disappears.
It's gone. It's not like you have a feed like you do with photos on Instagram. You have a time limit. So I was like, this is a good way for me to know and be able to track if I'm doing this daily. So
if you ever see the little plus thing, you know that you've missed the 24 hours before
it. It stresses me out.
That's really funny. And I know I asked you about this a while back too, and it kind of goes into the next question about kind of your workflow overall, but obviously you have to import the stuff, you have to edit the stuff, you have to do it all before you post it. So I assume that it's not necessarily, you're not trying to get them out ASAP in terms of when you shot them. It's more of that every 24 hours you want there to be a new sequence of stories.
Because
I know sometimes I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 a.m. and I see a bunch of the ones you've posted.
Yes.
And I know that obviously they didn't just happen because there's obviously work involved in doing that.
Yeah, but it's pretty common for me to edit late at night and post them at whatever, 1 or 2 a.m.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about your workflow. Clearly from watching your videos, you obviously think out what you're doing. It doesn't seem like it's completely random. So talk a little bit about kind of what goes into it. Do you kind of vlog all day and then pick and choose the specific parts, or kind of what goes into that?
Right. I mean, it definitely changes day by day, but no, I never just film all day. In fact, the only exception to that is like, you know, I've done some stories while I'm like flying places and it might be a whole day of travel. And I'll know that I want my story to kind of include, the story is me starting somewhere and getting somewhere. And so I need a little bit of throughout the day. But most of the time, like I spent all day just working at my studio on other work projects, not filming anything. And then when it comes time to come home, I'm like, I haven't shot a story yet. I guess my story will be coming home from the studio. So I'll just plan out, like I don't plan out the way probably a lot of other people, like I don't write things out. I just kind of picture it in my head. You know, what's a thing I haven't done before or I would like to do. And sometimes that involves picking a song first and seeing what that inspires. And sometimes it's just, you know, I knew that I wanted to have a story of me coming home today. And so I was like, well, step one is I close all the curtains or the blinds at my studio, and then I lock up or whatever. And I just kind of, today, as an example, anyways, I'm just kind of figuring out as I go.
Mm-hmm.
But I try not to just be like, I'll just film a bunch and see what I can do in the edit, because then it's, you know, you're banging your head against a wall trying to figure out what this is going to be. And, you know, as you mentioned, I like to use a lot of transitions. And the idea of transitions, actually, I don't know exactly where it came from. I know my first corporate event that I ever shot in like 2011 or 2012, we did a lot of them. We haven't done traditionally as many in work since that video, but I just remember constantly we were paying attention. Like, we had a glide cam and we were just making sure, like, you know, go behind someone's shoulder so it totally blacks out and then come out from a wall. Like, we really paid attention to doing all those things. So I can't say exactly where the idea came from. Probably it came from skate videos, because I know I've seen that in skate videos and stuff. But in Instagram, when you're trying to tell a story in a really short period of time, there's only so much you can show. And so I wanted things to flow smoothly and efficiently as possible in order to tell that story. So I just started kind of including more and more of them. And I only ever got one message saying, you do this too much.
No, I think it's just fascinating. I mean, I just love how seamless it is. Like, it inspires me to just kind of think of some different things. But I think that the point of what you said is definitely something that I struggle with, in terms of when you shoot all day and then try to put something together versus really planning out what you want to do. Obviously, the way that with what I do on YouTube, it's not necessarily a creative thing. It's more of kind of a documenting what's going on in life. But it is hard sometimes when you get done shooting all day and you're kind of like, I talked about like 20 different topics. I don't have a clue what I should even like make this about.
Right.
And sometimes it is easier when you're just like, today is going to be about this, and all the focus becomes that.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I really did pick up from Casey, is it always felt like he was really good at, you know, especially when he was doing the daily vlog, it was, a lot of it was just like, I'm going to meetings, I'm in helicopters, I'm doing whatever. But he did, for the most part, do a really good job of like, I have a thing that I want to talk about today. Yep. And the way he would spread that out always fascinated me. It's almost like he had a script, a paragraph of just like, I'm testing out the new iPhone or whatever.
Right.
And he'd say the first line while eating his cereal, and the second line he's in an Uber, you know? I always found that fascinating, the way he could keep himself on a topic while still showing the broader scope of his whole day.
Yes. I think he's phenomenal at that. I think that that's just, I watched so many people attempt to do that.
Yes.
And he just was incredible at the way that he possibly does that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It was kind of much more like focused. Every video was really only about one thing.
Yeah.
And then he just made somehow that one thing into the day, which is not easy to do.
Yeah. And the same thing doesn't really work on Instagram stories, particularly because if you try and talk too much in Instagram stories, like,
it's one whole story.
You filled the whole thing. It doesn't work anymore. Yeah. And people aren't looking to, you know, no one's going to watch 8 minutes of Instagram stories. So
yeah,
personally, I think I try not to do more than like 5 or 6 individual clips. So realistically, I'm editing between like 1 and 2 minutes of content per day most days.
And how long does that take you?
It depends. It depends, honestly, how much I've planned. So there are times when, you know, front to back, I've shot stories at home, shot, edited, have it ready to upload in 30 minutes. And I've also spent, you know, 5-6 hours.
If you really think about so you're saying when you really plan the shooting side of it, it's so much easier to just, because you already planned the edit, all you gotta do is cut it.
Yes, exactly. When I know this is exactly how it's gonna flow, this is how it's gonna fit it, because then all I'm actually doing is just finessing the edit so that it fits nicely in those 15 minute parameters. Because I really don't like, you know, I don't want to be cut off mid-second or mid-sentence by that
by the
cutting
quick
from
little
one story to
change.
The next. So I try and keep each one as standalone as possible.
Right.
It's not always super possible, but
no, and usually I think it's always just really, really smooth. I think it's just, I always am excited to watch them. They're super just entertaining. And I know there's not very many people that do it. Probably because it's a ton of work for a 24 hour time period.
Well, I think that's part of the reason that I started doing it. or at least why I've maintained doing it for so long, is that it was so much easier to stand out in a platform that there wasn't a lot of other people doing this. Whereas, you know, how many really talented vloggers are there out there right now?
Right.
A lot. So while I know, I hate to even think of how much money I have not earned in AdSense revenue by not having these, you know, daily videos up there.
I know. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
It makes me cringe a little bit. But at the same time, I know at this point now that I'm planning this more as a business, as a thing that I want to sustain my life and my family's livelihood off of. I just feel like right now what I'm doing is I'm building an audience.
Yeah.
And so I'm not too worried about how much money I am or am not making from these specifically, because I know that attention is ultimately,
absolutely,
you know? And so when the time comes that I start making more content over to YouTube, at the very least, I have a pool of people that I can be like, hey, look at this thing I did.
Yep. Yeah. And you'll do well because of that, because too many people go in the opposite way and they go in immediately figuring out how they can monetize their stuff. And then they just don't even have an audience because people can sniff that out.
Yeah.
People can realize when you're kind of in it without actually loving doing it. And eyeballs, attention, always eventually brings monetization if you do it right.
Yeah, for sure.
There's
and
no
I
question
know,
about
I
it.
Mean, if I really wanted to like push towards like a lot of sponsored content on my Instagram, and I've done some, you know, and I'll do more. There are lots of people, you know, at my size of Instagram, and they make a living on Instagram. You know, you can do it. That's not really what I want to do. I still only really want to work with brands that I can get behind and that I already, that I either already like their stuff or I've had a chance to like mess with it and see how it actually could benefit me. So I'm not looking to just, you know, I don't know how censored or not this podcast is, but like, I'm not looking to like whore out, you know, my Instagram page. I don't need.
Yeah, no. And I think that that's why it's growing. I think that that's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's
I don't want people to feel like they're being sold to unless it's something that I believe in and that I'm okay to sell.
And it's hard because, you know, people really don't like you said, they don't like the idea of someone like selling out. But at the same time, they have to eventually realize that like when a creator works really hard and they build a big audience, it's not fair to be upset at them that they want to try to figure out how to make it a living.
For sure. Like, I honestly think my biggest demographic of people following my work is either current filmmakers or aspiring filmmakers. Uh-huh. And so, you know, not that I've ever actually get this criticism, but whenever I see others give the criticism, like, oh, you're a sellout, I'm like, don't you also want to be able to make a profit from your filmmaking? Like, if you love it so much,
don't you think it'd be nice
to not also have to work at McDonald's?
Yeah, it is crazy when people get upset with that. So kind of one last thing I wanted to ask you. So obviously when it comes to opportunities, when it comes to making a living, there's obviously the side of YouTube that everyone understands of AdSense and all that kind of stuff. It's obviously different from an Instagram perspective because there's not an actual monetization from it. What are kind of some opportunities? Do you see kind of unique opportunities come about because of Instagram for like that kind of content for brands, like outside of obviously them saying, hey, can you talk about our company on yours?
Yes.
Do you get to create these kind of Instagram stories for other companies?
Yeah. So I have a lot of like brands and stuff that'll reach out to me with these kinds of inquiries. And because I'm so busy still with a lot of my wedding edits and stuff, it's not something I'm able to do right now. But what I am doing is I'm building a skill set to create vertical content, which I don't think a lot of people are focusing on, because composition is hard vertically. You know, if you're filming anything,
if you're trying to take
like
others,
a person, it's really hard. You know, I was just in Manitoba filming cars and like in the snow, right? And the sky is all white, the ground is all white, and it's, you know, all like, there's, how are you supposed to compose shots when all it is like you can just see a car and right
it's just floating in space.
Yeah, it's just floating in nothingness. So I think worst case scenario is at the end, you know, I decide I'm not doing Instagram stories anymore. Worst case scenario is I'm now pretty proficient in creating vertical content. And I think brands are very interested in that because it's the way most people are consuming devices now is on their mobile devices. And so they need people who know how to create, whether that's, you know, ads for, you know, Instagram story ads, which show up in your feed or whatever, or.
Yeah, no, that is an interesting thought. I mean, it's, I kind of in my head think that I hate vertical content when I'm watching it like on YouTube or something like that. But obviously in an Instagram world and Snapchat, more and more people obviously just making them turn their phone is a hassle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I don't do it horizontally, because I know, I mean, even me when like I've done it before, like made people turn their phones, but even me when I have like friends, it's like, turn your phone now. I'm always like, eh, whatever.
I just skip it. you just turn your head instead.
Yeah, like I just don't feel like doing it. Especially, I've seen so many people get it wrong. Like, turn your phone this way, and then you do it, and then it's actually the other way, and you're like, the wrong way.
No, that is a really interesting thought. I actually never really thought about it that way. That because I definitely understand. Like one time ever, I kind of tried your concept of with my RX100 vertically, and it was just obviously weird to get used to. Yeah. But it did make sense in the manner that it's so much easier to film if you just have it that way versus trying to crop it and make it just fit.
Doing
never
a
works.
9x16 crop out of 16x9 video, it is heavy. You're losing everything.
Yeah. But then it's, you know, I got to imagine it's got to be hard because anything you're shooting can never now not be vertical.
Yep. I've thought about
that.
So
like when you're
like,
shooting home video stuff for your, like, are you shooting everything vertically?
Yeah. Most of the time. And I thought about that. I'm like,
so if eventually phones get square or 16:9 as their like standard in some form, everything's going to be just.
Yeah. I've thought about that, but I'm just banking on like these vertically devices are going to exist in our pocket for a very long time.
Yeah.
If anything, they're only going to become more prominent and popular in culture. So I'm not too worried about what that's going to do to the future memories of our.
Yeah. Now, do you keep all your stories forever?
Yeah, I have them all saved in my Dropbox. And, you know, I've got I'd have about like 14 or 1500, but that's individual 15-second clips, right? So some stories might be 7 or 8 and whatever.
Well, hey, I really appreciate you taking some time. This is just it's just an interesting time we live in. It's unbelievable that there's even Instagram, like people making livings on YouTube, Instagram. It's just this amazing time that we live in.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think it's also important for people to realize that like I think everyone's dream now is to become a YouTuber and become an influencer. And it's not as easy as people think.
No,
like people
really
just
not.
Think that it's just like, oh, that's just would be the best. I could just do whatever I want all day. It's not that easy.
Yeah. Oh, not at all. And like the amount of messages I've got, like, oh man, if only I had an audience like you, then I would create cool content.
Yeah.
It's
you're like, yep.
No,
cause that's
you
how
wouldn't.
It works every single time.
Yeah. You definitely just wouldn't like, and the problem is like, you're not going to build an audience unless you're already doing the content or whatever.
And that's, I think, why so many people quit. There's probably a billion people that have been inspired by you and other Instagram story creators that do it for 2 days straight and they're like, oh, this is so awesome, I'm gonna start doing this like crazy, and then they're like, yeah, forget this.
Yeah.
And that is how you stand out. You're doing it.
Maybe their audience isn't growing as fast as they thought it would, and they're like, well, what's the point, right? It's not working for me. But you can't really say if it's like my original goal. I had friends message me like very early on when I'm still in the iPhone days, just asking me like, what is this? A couple businessy friends of mine is like, is this a long game for you? Do you see this as like a potential, like whatever new form of income, that kind of thing? And I just remember thinking, I was like, yes and no. I was like, maybe. But what I told them is that I want to try this for a year and then see how I feel at the end of the year. Like I want to push myself to make as many of these as I can for an entire year. And then at the end of the year, I'll reassess and say, was this worth it? Or did this just swallow my time? And the year ended and I was like, totally worth it. You know, the year ended basically with me filming Casey Neistat's holiday movie. So I'd say it was worth it.
So, all right. So last thing, what are some takeaways, some one piece of advice, two pieces of advice, anything, kind of what you've learned in your journey getting to where you're at today, whether it's somebody that's looking to just be a filmmaker, not necessarily YouTube or Instagram, but just in general, some things you've learned kind of over the years of doing this and some things you do differently if you were at the beginning where a lot of people are right now.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on it a bit earlier, but I think a really important thing to remember is not to focus too much just on not to focus too much on the overall quality of your work. And I don't say that to be like, don't try and make everything the best, but understand that especially when you're starting out, the things you're making just aren't going to be the best. And they never will be until you have done a lot of it. So it sounds so backwards, but I honestly, to an extent, believe in quantity over quality. And not because I actually think you shouldn't strive for quality, but I think in this profession specifically, the road to quality is to go through a large quantity of it.
100%. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, rinse and repeat, do it over and over. And don't compare your work against other people's work that are already successful. Compare your work against the last thing you made, or the last, or the thing you made a month ago, 6 months ago, you know?
Yep. And I think that's a great way to look at it, because yeah, like you said, you'll get kind of frustrated beyond belief if you compare yourself to the best of the best, but you'll be a lot less frustrated if you look at what you've done a month ago and realize just how much you can improve in that. Because I know that when I look back at my work, I'm like, man, I thought I had a clue what I was doing then, and I sure didn't, and I still really don't, but it's way better than it was.
That's
kind of the way that the more and more you just like you said, it's a great point, the more and more you just compare yourself to your work, your last project you did, will always get you better.
Yeah, controversial a figure though he may be, Jordan Peterson put out that book called 12 Rules for Life, and one of the chapters is called, what is it? Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. And it's the same idea, right?
That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, hey, I really appreciate the time. I really appreciate you taking some time here and just sharing just some cool insight. I definitely will link, obviously, your Instagram and everything below. Is there any other places that people can follow you, get to know you more? I know you're kind of on all the social places.
Yeah, I'm on all the social places other than Snapchat. it's all Jesse Driftwood, except my Twitter, because whoever owns that Twitter won't give it to me or answer their phone or something.
That's so my funny. That's Jesse what everyone Driftwood says. One. I'm the same way.
Yeah,
they get everyone I know can't get the Twitter they actually want, and the person that has it is doing nothing.
Yeah, there's they've got no tweets. They've got one follower. And Craig Adams
has that same thing. I have the same thing. It's so funny.
Yeah, their bio is a phone number, and I keep calling it and texting it, and being like, "Hi, I'll just give you money for it. Can you answer me?"
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I will link everything below. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes. Let's hope spring arrives sooner than later so we can get you on that one wheel again and not be falling. Make sure you don't keep injuring yourself. Even though the stories are quite entertaining,
yeah,
we don't want to keep seeing you tumble around there.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. Have a good evening. All right. Take it easy. Well, once again, thanks to Jesse for taking a few minutes to chat. I just think it's some really, really cool insight of just a new kind of age we're living in technology. And that last thing he said about the idea of vertical video and how important it is. It's funny because when I think about vertical video, my first thought usually ends up being, man, I just don't like vertical video. But yet it's so true that the majority of things that I watch are in my Instagram feed and my Facebook feed, and I'm usually just holding my phone vertically. So is this the future of video in a vertical format? It's really just an interesting thought. But I just love people that are taking a risk and doing something different. There are so many people that are doing everything else that everybody else is doing. And so Jesse's just really on the cutting edge of just some awesome stuff in the Instagram platform. So make sure you head over there, tell him you heard him on the podcast, and thank him for the work he does. It's just really inspiring. And I think that if you watch a lot of his stories, you'll be pumped up and want to create more yourself as well. So definitely do that. And if you create a story that's inspired by stuff that he creates, make sure you tag him in the video and say thanks, because he deserves some credit for being an innovator in that platform, no question. But that's going to do it for the episode. Hope you liked it. As always, connect with me on Twitter @ScottWMcKenna. Would love to hear from you. And until next time, take it easy.